Good morning, morning everybody. I will suggest that I'm going to adjust my talking points just a little bit so I don't become too repetitive. But firstly, what I would like to talk about is to do with the macroeconomic issues that we're facing, because whilst you heard from John that GSP-wise we're doing okay, it's been driven off exports, and exports primarily around the capacity that was built in iron ore and the gas, the LNG. And so GSP-wise we're doing fine, but there's other elements of our economy that have been really struggling, and particularly we see that in the housing industry and with retail and others. But on a macroeconomic perspective, I talk about peak personal debt. If we look back to the 80s when we deregulated the financial system, we made access to finance easier for everybody. And this in turn increased demand. For the last three decades, we've been witnessing reducing levels of interest rates that have increased people's borrowing capacity. All of these have helped stimulate demand and driven asset values. What we're seeing now is a low wage environment, low inflation, and asset values are not maintaining the trajectory of growth that a lot of us have become used to. And so the outlook is a lot different for the future generation than what most of us have experienced for the last 30 to 40 years. The additional thing is around technology disruption, and what we're seeing there is the change in buying patterns, people moving to online buying and the impact that that's having on retail. Furthermore, we're seeing the emergence of environmental disruption and the impact that that's going to have, something that I'll touch on when I talk about just a little bit later about the political overview. And the latest one that is of a concern to everybody, when people often talk about our relationship with China and they say that if China sneezes, we get pneumonia. We're really concerned about the impact of coronavirus and what those ramifications, and our thoughts are definitely out to the Chinese community and the government there and all their attempts to get on top of that as quickly as possible. But that's something that is hanging over the short-term economic prosperity of Australia as a whole. In looking at closer to home, obviously we've got a reliance on our mining sector, and John touched on it, and so did Amber Jade. And there is a definite need for greater diversification. But one of the things that I would say is that successive governments haven't really nailed this. We've all often talked about it. Doesn't matter which side of politics you're on, we talk about broadening the economy. And in my view, we fail to really look at the value chain or supply chain of the industries that we wish to engage in. And I'll just touch on one quickly. If we look at tourism as an opportunity for Western Australia, more often than not, successive governments have thrown marketing dollars at that issue. And I say that we need to look at the complete value chain and be really clear about what market is that we're targeting. Who's the customer? What does that customer want? What experience do they want? What infrastructure is required? Who's going to provide that infrastructure? Is it private or is it the state? And then we get to marketing. I feel that we often jump to the end game without actually understanding the customer and exactly what they want, how and where we're going to provide it. And if I look at that across most areas, I could do the same with the agriculture sector and many different industries, where I think it's critical that future governments understand the value chains and the supply chains and be very clear about what role it plays, what role the private sector plays, how the government can support industry to grow and broaden and diversify our economy. I believe that given that we have one of the best places in the world to live and raise a family, it's going to be impossible for us to ever compete on wages, and I don't believe we should. We have a better standard of living than most places in the world. But that means it's more important that we embrace technology and innovation. We've lost a lot of our manufacturing in Australia, and we must embrace technology and innovation if we're going to broaden our economy. But part of that is that we definitely need cheaper energy. Currently in Western Australia, consumers pay the second highest electricity charges in Australia behind South Australia. And we know that the East Coast has had some challenges, but if you know that we're only second behind South Australia, there's still a lot more that we can do. Yes, there's a competitive marketplace for industry above 50 megawatts, but I still believe that there is ample opportunity for us to explore what South Korea and Japan are looking at with hydrogen fuel cells, looking at our domestic gas supply. I don't believe that we're utilising it effectively at this point in time. We're utilising, you know, whilst we've got a domestic gas reservation policy of 15%, we're currently utilising in the order of 1.5%. I see industries that are struggling to get established long-term contracts, and whilst there's a cheap spot price, if we're going to attract industry here that are going to spend $500 million, they need to be able to offset their energy costs over a long period of time to defray their capital costs of setup. So there's some opportunities that we need to identify and look at to ensure that we can deliver in this space. Moving forward, and what does that mean? Obviously, we have a state election in 12 months. And so you'll start to hear a lot more from the respective parties, and you've got Amber Jade and I here this morning. But right at the top of that, there's a couple of themes that I think are going to be very important over the next 12 months. And the first one is around this cost of living and the impact on households. What a lot of people might not understand, because if you live within 8 kilometres of the city or down the river or up the beach, you have a different perspective on how good things are in Western Australia at the moment compared to those that live further out. A recent DFA report, Digital Financial Analytics report, said that we now have 152,000 households in Western Australia suffering mortgage stress. And by mortgage stress, they say that their monthly expenses are greater than their monthly income. That has grown 67% in the last 3 years, so additional 62,000 households in the last 3 years. So it's an emerging and growing problem. So if you look at the impacts of reducing interest rates from a federal government or Reserve Bank to stimulate the economy, and you're wondering why it's not stimulating the economy, it's because of that issue that people are already in trouble and increasing their borrowings to make ends meet on a monthly basis. This is an underlying concern in the economy of Western Australia at this point in time. When we talk about jobs in the economy, our current unemployment rate of 5.8% is too high. The national average is 5.3. The jobs growth that we're seeing is patchy and directed mostly at part-time roles. In the last few years, over 70% of all jobs have been part-time. There are currently 210,000 Western Australians either underemployed or unemployed. And so that is a growing issue in Western Australia and feeds into that struggling household sector. So it is a real challenge to ensure that we build the capacity in Western Australia for jobs, for full-time equivalent jobs and growth in that area. It goes back to that need to broaden and diversify our economy. We have been too reliant on the mining sector and to a lesser degree the agriculture sector. But it is critical that we do look at ways that we can foster a broader economic environment in Western Australia. When I look at the other issues that are high, just to give you a sense of issues that are confronting both the government and the opposition in the coming election, law and order continues to be a problem, and we see that clearly in the CBD of Perth. The broader methamphetamine issue is something that's a real challenge that needs to be dealt with, and the ramifications and the impact socially in our communities is something that needs to be responded to. And the final one is the emergence of environmental issues. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to leave the environment in which we live better for our kids and our grandkids. But it'll be incumbent on both sides of politics to have strong policies in this space, to provide assurance to the community that we're serious about how we look after our environment and how we can provide for our kids' future. So that's just a quick snapshot to give a sense from a high level. As I said, there are broader headwinds in the economy that are confronting certain sectors of our economy. They are providing real challenges, and the responses to date, and I can't go political, it's not the right environment, but there is opportunities for future governments to get that right. We need to make sure that we look after the business community. The business community is what's providing real jobs. It's not the public sector, albeit the public sector is the biggest employer in Western Australia. We must grow private sector for real prosperity for Western Australians. Thanks very much.